All right, look what it says here, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. We're talking about the supernatural church. All right, I want to take you somewhere today you might have never been before, but that's a good thing. We were talking about, when we closed out the last time, this whole supernatural church, and that it's according to your faith when you go into Canaan. Canaan is where the promises are, okay? And it's the impossible. And where you find the impossible and God is leading you, you can rest assured that that's where your stuff is. I said, that's where your stuff is. That's where your healing is, your deliverance is, that's where your family situations can be, everything, it's right there. Because the enemy tries to make it look impossible. Because he takes time and tries to get us, our minds thinking from a natural perspective. We call it human reason. And he tries to get us thinking like that so that we won't go into the impossible. We'll think there are limitations, but with God, all things are what? Are possible. Okay? So this supernatural living is a lifestyle that God wants us to live. Now, we left off last time by talking about what is man. Now, when we say man, we're talking about a woman or man. But we looked at Psalm chapter 8 for that particular scripture. In Psalm chapter 8, he says, verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him, or thou hast cared for him? Well, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. That word angels translates God, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put how many things? All things under his feet. Now this, all things, what is all things? That's a pretty good answer. It's all things, isn't it? Well, I think we can relate to the fact that it's all things, meaning everything that crawls, swims, everything that flies, every material thing, even the atmosphere, all things, storms, everything, all things under man's authority. And we can see that when back in the book of Genesis, the Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 28, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon this earth. So all that creeping, flying things in the sea, everything he's got dominion over. So he said, and that one of man's mandates was to replenish the earth. That means to perpetually renew and resupply. It means fulfill it. Fill it. To recover former fullness in this earth. This is what he's supposed to do. This is what this whole word replenish is. Now, he gave him the blessing to do it. But I want you to see something. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So he's making man. But then in 28, he blessed him. You got what I'm saying? He just didn't make him. He blessed him. He blessed him and said to him. Now he's not talking to him. He's transferring power. So this man had to be blessed. Are you following what I'm saying? That this man had to be a man first and then be empowered. Because this blessing gave him the ability of creation, the same ability God used to create the earth, mankind has now got that ability to recreate, to get things in this earth in order with God's mandate. This blessing. Are y'all with me here? So I want you to see that, because even though Jesus was born of a woman and his blood had never been mingled with contaminated blood of fallen Adam. It was blood right from the Father. He still had to have the Holy Ghost. Y'all follow what I'm saying here? See, he had to be empowered. See? So what happened when Adam sinned, then he fell from that lofty estate that he had, but the power of the blessing is seen through the power of the curse. Because now what was flowing out of him before as a blessing and affected everything, that everywhere he went, the garden was created, no matter what, how bad it looked. Now what was flowing out of him had been reversed, and it's the curse flowing out of him, and everything is being messed up. And it affected everything that swims, everything that flies, every material thing, every piece of dirt. It affected everything. You don't need to go anywhere to grow weeds. You put a garden out in your yard and you go on vacation for 3 weeks and come back, you're going to have to de-weed that rascal. But the curse is working. And it came through one man. Now, what it's giving you is an idea of the spiritual capacity of a man. And so we saw this when we saw Jesus. Now, this is when Jesus was speaking. Now, he was speaking to a storm. It's found in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And Jesus told him, said, let's go over to the other side. And then they got into a boat and took him, even just as he was, to go to the other side. Now, Mark chapter 4 and verse 36. And he said this. He said, and when they had sent away the multitude, it took him even as he was in the ship, and that was also with him other little ships. Watch this now. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him, and they said to him, Master, don't you care? We're about to die. I'm putting it in my own words now. Watch this. And he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace be still. And there was a great calm, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How come you didn't have any faith? Why didn't you do this? And then they said this, what? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea do what? Obey him. Now they really didn't obey him. What did they obey? They obeyed, come on, help me, his faith. Now, what was his faith designed to do? His faith was designed to connect him to God's ability. His faith is designed to connect him to God's ability. Got it? Now, so is your faith. It's connect you to God's ability. What limit has God's ability? No limit. So notice, when a fallen man is existing without God, he has limits. He has limits, so he's quick to say, that's impossible. But when a man gets born again, he gets reconnected. He gets the cult, the nature of God in him. He gets the seed of the word of God, which grows up in him, and he becomes a child of God again. And once he becomes a child of God, he needs empowerment. So Jesus said over in Luke chapter 24, don't leave here till you get some power. The blessing has got to come on you. So what happened is, of course, they got filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God was working through them. But I want you to see this. So notice this man is doing this. Why? Because he's got dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth. So everything that's out of line with heaven's government, you have the blessing to put it back in line. Are you still with me so far? All right, then we go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, now we see here, and they came over to the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. Now that's the country where the Gentiles are. And when he was coming to the ship, immediately there met him out of the ship of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. And who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because they had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and what? Worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure you that you torment me not. Now, what is the devil doing? Advertising for Jesus? No, he's not. He's confronting Jesus because he knows who Jesus is. Jesus is God in this earth. He knows who he is, and he knows that God can't touch him without a man. And the reason why, because he turned the earth over to man. And so he can't go back on his word until the lease is up. And so now he's got to work through a man. So he doesn't understand how Mary had a baby without a man. But she did, praise the Lord. And so now here's Jesus, and notice what the next verse says. For he said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Watch this. And he asked him, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of that country, the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. See, they need a body. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. That's why I don't eat pig today. And I was just kidding. That was just a joke. You can eat anything. It's sanctified through the word of God and with prayer. With your barbecue eating self. Okay. And entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Notice he told you how many about there were. Why? Because he wants to show you how many demons were in the man. Why? Because he wants to show you the spiritual capacity of this man who doesn't even know God. So how powerful is a man who doesn't even know God? Powerful. Why? He's fearfully and wonderfully made. He was made just like God. So notice what he said in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Over in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, he's talking about a man who doesn't know God building. He said, and the whole earth was one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelled there. And they said one to another, go to now, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to and let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Watch this. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have what? Imagine to do. Nothing that they have imagined to do. See, this man without God still has an imagination. And he can imagine stuff. That's what it says here in the last days. That's what's going to be happening. People are going to have these weird imaginations. See, that's why television is getting many times more and more violent. And the reason why it had to be more and more violent, because they got to imagine more stuff to keep people looking. See, people in the flesh will get satisfied with that, so now they want something more. And they get satisfied with that, and come on, and they want something more. Come on now. And I'm telling you, and pretty soon, it's like the gladiators. I mean, they're killing people. And the people get up and cheer. Man, I'm telling you, some of these sports, I mean, hockey, and sometimes they pow, that's, man. They let them just fight? Yeah, they just let them fight. And I'm trying to figure out, now what? Is that good sportsmanship? You know, I'm trying to figure this thing out. Because that's the flesh. It wants more. It wants, that's why sexual perversion continues to get worse. Because it wants to find a new way to experiment with that. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Folks, the flesh is never going to be satisfied until it ceases to breathe. It's looking for more. I want more, man. Give me more action. Give me more. So somewhere you got to put the stake in the ground. So I ain't going no further. That wasn't my message today, but I'm going to have to pray the Lord. Okay. Are y'all with me? So this is this man imagining without God. So notice what he's doing. He's building a tower. So he can come with ideas and so forth, not God ideas, but come up with ideas. And what? Who's Satan? Satan is the one that's using it. Yeah. Why? Because he doesn't have that kind of power. When man got created, Satan, he was a cherub that covered the throne of God. He was an angel, folks. He was looking at God, make this thing, call a man. And he's saying, whoa. And then God put him over Satan? Man, that was the last straw. Now you know he's mad. But he can't come close to it. Now, my point to you is that this man has some ability. So without God, he has a gift. Without God, he has a talent. That's why an unsaved man still can play good. An unsaved man, come on, because without God. But God wants to put some super on your natural. Say amen to that. And the way you're going to be doing your stuff, put it up there, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 20. The way you're going to be able to do your stuff is, and all the matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them, come on, help me, 10 times better than the best of the world. 10 times better physicians. 10 times better secretaries. Come on, 10 times better educators. 10 times better politicians. 10 times better. It doesn't make any difference whether you're in Hollywood, wherever God plants you, you're going to be what? 10 times better. Because he's going to put some super, come on your neck. Now you can talk yourself out of it. Well, I've never really been able to do it. Now stop talking like that. Because when you talk like that, you don't bless yourself, you curse yourself. Say amen. Amen. So in this, what we showed you was Job and how Job had the blessing on his life, and that Satan revealed something about Job, about his life and what was going on. Now look what it said in Job chapter 1. In verse 9, let's just start there. He said this, and Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side and blessed the work of his hands, and the substance is increased in the land? So who blessed him? God blessed him. Now notice this. He said on every side. Now he has blessed him and he's blessed his house. Say, bless my house. So what we found out is that God blessed Job, and everything that Job had, God blessed it. He made it and made sure that it would prosper and so forth. Are you with me here? All right, now, if we look at that, when God blessed Job there and expanded and increased Job, this is what I want to get to you. God would like a difference between people who are saved and people who are not. Now, when I say that, it's because you're supposed to be the sign and the wonder. See, what does a sign do? It points you. Mississippi, 1,432 miles. It's telling you exactly where to go. And you're supposed to be a sign and a wonder. You're supposed to be pointing people right to Jesus. Now, so God wants you, and let me just say something I got out of a book, so I'll say it. The man said what God spoke to him. God wants to build something or do something people cannot do unless they have him. Isn't that something? He wants to do something or have you be something that people cannot do or be unless they have him. I think that's great. I said, I think that's great. So a man can be born with a gift, but when he gets born again, it's amplified by the blessing. The gift is amplified by the blessing. So you're going to be able to do it like nobody else can. Say amen to that. All right. Now, faith is the only way, of course, you activate that blessing. Now, in this man named Job. So what we showed you, I'm going through this real quick and I'm getting off of it. That there is protection for our families. Every child, when born, has an assigned angel. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Put it up on the board. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. A kid born in the earth has an angel. Psalm 34 and verse 7, please. I think you know this one very well. 34 and verse 7. For the angel of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him. And what do? Deliver them. So now, Job, let's turn back to Job. Let's just look at that Job chapter. Let's look at Job chapter 3. Let's just start right there in verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come to me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet what came? Trouble came. Let's go to Job chapter 6 and verse 23. Oh, deliver me from the enemy's hand and redeem me from the hand of the mighty. Teach me, and I'll do what to my tongue? Hold my tongue. And what else? Cause me to understand where what? I missed it. Now, wait a minute. Let me again share with you how much influence you have over your child. I got to do this now. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 6. Ecclesiastes is after Proverbs, which is after Psalms. And it's not Ecclesiastics. It's Ecclesiastes. Okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 6. Watch this. Suffer not what? Thy mouth to cause, come on, thy flesh to sin. Watch this. Neither say thou before what? The angel, that it was a what? Error. See, you got angels watching the kids. But you got to watch what you say. Because what you say as authority in the earth can bind that kid's angel. I'm trying to help you now. And you see, you can't say, okay, you're going to get your head busted in now. Just watch. See, you can't say that because God didn't say that about your kid. Come on, I got to say something that will deliver my child. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying that your words are instructing his or her angels. And the things that you say about your children and to your children are the things that you make happen for them. So what you got to do is line up your tongue. You got to get in the Word of God and see what God said about your child. I know he's acting crazy, but that doesn't make any difference. The Word of God won't return void. Faith will fix anything. So the first thing that I told you that you have to do is you have to see the right picture. You have to see about your kids. I took you to Psalm 127. Over in Psalm 127, look what it says about your children. Verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. The Lord gave you that child. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty, so are children of thy youth, the youth. Now, what is he saying? He is saying your child is like an arrow, that an arrow has to be pointed and shot. The same thing about your children. What did I tell you Evie Hill's mother said? This is when she was poor, she had no money, she had nothing. The deacons came out and said, Brother Hills is going on to be with the Lord, your husband. He's died now, and these boys and girls, you haven't met. He said, now he's the oldest boy, Evie. Now get him to work and help you around the house. She said, no, my boy is going to school. See, and the angel, now the angel's working to get him in school. See, I don't care how it looks. You may not have no money, but my daughter is going to Harvard. See, if you just line your mouth up with God's intention for your child, which is the very best the world has to offer, God's got angels that'll open up the doorway and make it happen. I don't care how small they are. I don't care if they got a speech impediment. It doesn't. I don't care how they've been talked about in the school and put in remedial classes. My child is going to have A's. My child is going to be the finest lawyer in Chicago. My child. Next one. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Now, I've taught this before, but apparently y'all didn't get it yet because the Holy Ghost is having me come back to it. Look what it says over here in verse 1 of chapter 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with you. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of the house, and thy children like what? Olive plants round about the table. Well, I told you about olive plants. See, and all you have to do is go over there in the book of Judges and look and see it talking about olive plants. And so I started looking it up again, olive plants. The children, it means that these children, they're going to be like olive plants. They're going to be sought after. This is Judges chapter 9 now. Judges chapter 9, verses 8 and 9 in the Hebrew. And they're going to have enlargement, meaning that God's going to enlarge their borders. They're going to have prominence. I'm talking about olive plants now. And they're going to be instruments of honor. Glory to God. And watch it. They're going to command respect from unbelievers. Watch this. They're going to be sought after by society. They, even though they might look average now, God's going to distinguish them. I'm talking about if I get my mouth right. Say amen. Say, I got to get my mouth right. And in every situation, don't go by what you see. Look at what it said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. We read it before, but I'm coming back to it again, because by thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. Look what it says. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you. Come on, life and death. Come on, blessing and curse. Therefore, come on, choose life, that both you and your seed shall live. Now, why is that? Because God not only wants to save you, the devil messed up when you got saved. Because when you got saved, now your whole house gonna be saved. I said, your husband gonna be saved. Come on, your wife gonna be saved. Them kids gonna be saved. I don't care if somebody else is in there, they gonna be saved. Look what it said in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. This is your assurance of that. See, it builds faith in you, because none of this happens without faith. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Come on. And your house. Folks, when he took them out of Egypt, before he did it, he had them to put blood over the doorpost. Why? Because when the death angel came down through town, let's put it up there. Exodus chapter 12, please, and verse 23. And look what he says in Exodus 12 and verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will what? Pass over the door and will not, come on, suffer the destroyer, come on, to come into your houses to smite you. So anybody that's in the house gets saved. I said anybody that's in the house gets saved. So it may be an orphanage that you get, Jeremiah chapter 17. And God gives you a vision for an orphanage. You know why? Because he's going to have you send them all those kids to high Ivy League schools. They're going to be some of the most prominent people. Come on now. See, they ain't no throwaway. Those people been given to you because you're going to make this thing come to pass. Look what it says in Job chapter 14. That just pops into my spirit. Are you with me? Verse 7, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it'll sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, through a scent of water, a scent of water. The scent is a drop, a scent of water. What is water? Washing of the water of the word. The word is symbolized by water. Just a drop of the word and it will bud again and bring forth branches like a blossoming plant. I'm just telling you, you get an orphanage, you get a bunch of kids. Now they've come from families that have thrown them away or don't want them or whatever have you. And they come in there with a bunch of spirits of rejection and so forth. Guess what you can do? Drop this word on each one of them. Drop this word on each one of them. And start shooting them like an arrow. You gonna be a physician. You gonna be a pilot. You gonna be a pilot. You gonna be. You see what I'm saying, folks? Listen, it ain't over till it's over. I'm telling you, God chose you for this hour. And the world throws them away, but you take them in. You see, the world don't know what to do with the poor because they can't do nothing but make them poor. But you can do something with the poor. I'm saying you can get the poor. poor and pray for the poor. And when you pray for the poor, God will hear your prayer. And God will take the poor and put them back on top. I ain't got time to go to these scriptures. Boy, I'm telling you, I got so many scriptures. Look what he says in Psalm 113 and verse 7. This is what he'll do to the poor. See, the Babylon can't use the poor because it drains too much of his money. But God has an unlimited supply. He raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifted up the needy out of the dunghill. Next verse, please. That he may set him with princes, even the princes of his people. That's your verse right there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, now, let's look at this. Because this is what I wanted to get to today. Glory to God. That God, now all of this is Job. Now we know that God restored Job, but I'm just giving you this to let you know that you can shoot those kids like an arrow. You don't need to settle for anything. Well, suppose they're deformed. Well, you can pray. See, this is where the world can't do anything about it. But if you can connect up with God, God can fix anything that's broke. He said this, greater is he, come on, that is in me, come on, than he that is in the world. It doesn't make any difference. So Jesus healed the lame. He healed the blind. He even healed the maimed. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, you say, well, how can he do that? He can do it because he's got the blessing on his life. And he said the things that he did, you can do too. How much time I got? Lord have mercy. I want to low down, let y'all have this. Now, let me just say this. Now, you got to believe God. The thing he asked, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Didn't he ask that? They asked that for a reason. Now, Romans 51, verse 1. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock which you hewed, and to the hole which you, and pit which you are deep. Look unto Abraham your father, and to Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. Underline it. We're going to deal with that. He will comfort all her waste places. Boy, you got to underline this. And he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Now, verse 16. And I have put my words in your mouth, and I have covered you in the shadow of my hand, that I may what? Plant the heavens, underline it, and lay the foundation of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. Everything that's making you uncomfortable, God has plans to remove it. Now, put up there in Matthew chapter 15, and I'm going to show you how Jesus healed these people. Matthew chapter 15, and look how Jesus healed these people. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh into the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. Watch this. And great multitudes came unto him, having them with them, those that were lame, come on, blind, come on, dumb, come on, maimed, underline maimed. And many others to cast him down at Jesus' feet, and he what? Healed. He did what? He healed them. Watch this. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the who? Dumb to speak. Keep going. The maimed, underline it, maimed to be made whole. Now notice what he was doing. He was getting maimed whole. He was getting maimed whole. Now, I'm walking through this because faith is simple. The first thing you're going to find out about faith is a child can work it. See, it's not designed that you have to know how it works. You just take the remote and turn the TV on. You don't know how that projector back there gets the cable box to drop up. You don't need to know. Just turn the thing on. Faith is that simple. It doesn't take anything to work it except a desire. It takes believing that God will do what he said. I'm preaching to somebody right over here. Somebody's coming into $1 million right over here in Jesus' name. And I'm going to say it. Now, notice, put up there Psalm chapter 139. And look what God said in Psalm, because he's trying to show you something about this main thing. He said this. He said, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Watch this. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. In thy book, God's book, all your members were written. What is a member, somebody? It's a part of your body. It could be your arm, your leg. Should be what part of your body is a member. Were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. So God fashioned the members when there was yet none of them. Now here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that a friend of mine went to General Motors of Chrysler, and they're going to show him around, and they showed him the cars and how they create the cars, but they also showed him the car for next year and the car for the next year, all 5 years ahead of where they are right now. But the cars were not mass produced yet. What they did show him was the bin that all the parts for those cars were being made. Their bins were being made, and the parts were being put in those bins for those cars that were not made. And I'm telling you that you didn't come into the earth except a few years ago, but your parts were made before the founder Akisatara Mahanda. God knew that you were going to do something, smoking cigarettes. Now, all of a sudden, this emphysema came in and so forth. He knew that. So he set aside some new set of lungs. He put some new lungs aside. He put a new esophagus aside. Come on. He knew that he's going to drink too much of that Jack Daniels and all that stuff. And the next thing you know, the pancreas and liver is shot. So he put together some members, and he's got your DNA. He knows your blood type. He put them all away. Come on now. And all you got to do is believe, and faith will transfer what is in heaven already set aside for us who lived a sinful life and bring us back to wholeness. Say amen. And the thing about it, you don't need to get technical about faith. All you got to say is this: in the name of Jesus, be healed. Praise God. And it's something transferred. Do you see what I'm saying? Folks, what dawned on me is when my car wouldn't start that day, it was about 50 degrees below zero on the north side when I was staying there of Chicago. And my car wouldn't start. And I thought about it. I said, well, now, wait a minute. Jesus spoke to the storm. It obeyed him. And Jesus spoke to a tree, and it obeyed him. And he spoke to a dead man who was decomposing, and he came to life. And he said the things that he did, John chapter 14 and verse 12, that I would do too, and greater works than these will I do, because he's going to the Father. I said, I need to start speaking to some stuff. Well, he's taking me back to Adam now and teaching Adam how Adam was to function like God, calling things that be not as though they were. So I said, hey, I'm going to speak to this thing. In the name, I got out of that car, backed up in the middle of the street because it was cold. Nobody was out. And the tow truck was way down there making money off of people. I said, he ain't going to make no money off of me. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I looked around to see if anybody was looking first. Because the Bible says, I am not ashamed. See, when you do things God tell you to do, it look a little crazy to the world. Come on, crazy faith. It look a little crazy to the world. But believe me, they ain't gonna laugh too hard when they see the result. Because God's about to distinguish you. He's about to raise you up 10 times better. I said, Carl, in the name of Jesus, I'm talking to you. In Jesus' name, start. See, you don't need to know something technical. All you got to do is be able to talk. And so I went in the house, got a cup of coffee and some tea for about a half hour, watched the ball game, give God a chance to work. And then I came back out, got in the car, run! I said to myself, wait a minute. If I can speak to my car, why can't I speak to my bills? But if I can speak to my bills and speak something there, why can't I speak to a man and speak a heart into him? See, y'all can't get here. Come on now.
Hallelujah.
I know somebody around you might not be excited about this. Don't try to explain it to them. Let them stay right where they are, because they ain't hungry for it. You got to be hungry for this, because you can speak to them bills. You put them on that desk. You see, Mark 11, verse 22 through 24. Here's what he said in verse 22. Mark 11, 22 says this. He said, and Jesus answered him, said what? Have faith in God. In other words, have God's faith. Don't have your faith. Come on. Have God's faith. The same faith that created the world. Then he said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, say I'm a whosoever, shall say to this mountain, come on, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he said shall come to pass, he shall have what? Whatsoever he said. Then he said this in Mark 11, 24. He said, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Watch this. With God's faith, you can tell something you don't want where to go. And with God's faith, you can tell something you do want where to come. Now give God a praise, because we're about to operate in a level that the world cannot understand.